Well, good morning, men. Nice to see you this morning. We are in this series called Letter on Leadership, this Paul mentoring this young Pastor Timothy. And so, as Bobby said, if you'd like to have a title for today's talk, it's false. False. How many of you shopped at Radio Shack sometime in your life? Radio Shack. You probably bought anything electronic that you wanted. You bought Radio Shack. Maybe you bought your first computer there like I did, a Tandy 1000. Remember that thing? And I put those floppy disks in there, and I thought it was really something. And so Radio Shack was, it used to be a really strong brand in the United States of America, but it's kind of diminished, gone down for some reasons. But here's my story of my connection to Radio Shack. In 1993, there was a man who worked as a major account executive in an advertising company that I led in Dallas, Texas, a branch of a national company. And this guy's name, we'll just call him Dave. Dave. And Dave had a list of companies that he called on, and one of them was Radio Shack. And all Dave could talk about was Radio Shack, Radio Shack. I mean, we heard Radio Shack all the time from Dave. We never sent any business from Radio Shack, but he talked about Radio Shack a lot. One day we were taken by surprise when Dave walked in and said he was leaving our company and he was going to go to work for Radio Shack as their director of marketing. And I was really surprised by that because I knew Dave pretty well. I'd worked with him for several years, and he didn't have any background in marketing. He was a good salesman. He was a good talker for sure, but he didn't have any background in marketing. And I knew also that he had really no formal education. So I was really surprised by the news that Dave gave us. So he went on his way, and I stayed in touch with Dave because we were, you know, kind of friends. Well, I was surprised again later on when Dave was promoted from director of marketing to a vice president of Radio Shack. Then a few months later, he was promoted to the COO of Radio Shack. And then within 2 years, here Dave shows up as the CEO, the chief executive officer of Radio Shack. And I was kind of blown away by that. And I thought, I don't know what that guy's doing differently than he did for us, but good for Dave, right? And then the shock of all shocks came. Headline of the New York Times, February 21st, 2006. Radio Shack chief resigns for lying. Here's what it said. Radio Shack chief executive resigns on the revelation that he had lied to the company about his education by claiming 2 college degrees when he had none. Well, Radio Shack was humiliated by that. They lost credibility with their shareholders. They lost credibility in the marketplace. And it changed a lot at Radio Shack. Some people even say it led to their filing of bankruptcy a few years later. Dave, you lied on his resume. He made false claims, and the company accepted it as truth. Without checking, they just accepted it as truth. Well, false claims. Dave told a lie, it was false, that the company accepted it, and there were ramifications. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what Paul is writing Timothy about, the situation where these guys in the church there at Ephesus were teaching false things. So let's go this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. A little background to remind you of. In the book of Acts chapter 20, we see that Paul went to this place called Ephesus, and he planted a church among the Ephesian people there. He taught them doctrine. He taught them everything that they needed to know about life and salvation and how to live and act as a Christian in the world that they lived in. And we read that Paul was taught these things, this doctrine, directly from Christ. Then Paul taught Timothy, and Paul taught the people there at Ephesus everything that they needed to know. And when Paul left Ephesus to go to Macedonia, he left the people there at Ephesus with a warning. With a warning. We see the warning in Acts 20, verse 30. This is what he said. When I leave, even from your own number of men, men will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Paul, he looked in the future and he knew what was going to happen. He said, there's going to be guys going to rise up. They're going to want to be popular. They're going to want a following. And they're going to teach things that are not true. And so just 3 years later, from the time that Paul said that, that is exactly what happened. These men started to teach things that were not true. And so, in 1 Timothy, we see Paul saying to Timothy, here's your number one priority. This is the first thing I need you to straighten out, my number one protege, this problem that we have there in 1 Timothy. So let's look at chapter 1, verse 3 through 7 and get an idea of what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do. And he really has to, he kind of pushes him on this. You know, Timothy was a great guy, but he was a little bit timid. So Paul had to push him a little bit. He said, "I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters which they make confident assertions about." So we have these men there who need to be confronted because of the lies that are telling, the false teaching that they are telling. And Paul says to me, "This is your number one job. We've got to take care of this." So Paul called these things in verse 3 strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. You know, they were things that were strange to Paul. He found them, you know, in some regards, absurd, the things that they were saying, because they were teaching, going back to the law, they were teaching things that weren't part of the gospel, weren't part of the doctrine that Paul himself had taught to the people there at Ephesus when he was their pastor. And so, what is doctrine? I think we probably just should define that for a minute, because they were strange doctrines. This is the doctrine of a church. It's a set of standards of Christian beliefs that are not to be departed from. It's what the apostles taught. It's the apostolic teaching, right? Here's the truth. We call it our doctrine. We got to stick to it. These guys strayed from it, and they were not sticking to it. So Paul said, let's straighten this thing out. But here's the problem at the church in Ephesus. They were easily confused about what the truth was. In the 3 years since Paul had left, they kind of got lazy. They hadn't studied. They hadn't stuck to the truth. And they were confused. They weren't firmly grounded in the doctrinal truth that Paul had taught to them. And as a result, they didn't recognize a lie when they heard it. It's kind of sound like the world we live in today. So here's one of the lessons that we're going to learn today from Paul and Timothy. And this is the question we're going to answer. How do you recognize a false teacher and his lies? How do you recognize, how do you know whether what he's saying is true or not? And so verse 3 and verse 6 give us some clues. Verse 3, look at this. "I urged you upon my departure, remain on it, that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor pay attention to myths or speculations." Verse 6, he says, they have strayed, they have turned aside, and they're teaching different things. Here's Paul's point. Anytime you hear someone teaching something new, right? This is new revelation. Nobody else has figured this out before, right? You can be assured that there's a problem, and your, can I say your spidey senses ought to go up? The Holy Spirit in you should say, I'm not sure about this. And we should ask ourselves the question, is this true? Does this match up or line up with the doctrines taught to us by the apostles in the New Testament? So the question is it true? We live in a post-postmodern culture. It's a time of post-postmodernism where deconstructionism says that there is no absolute truth. And we, therefore, have to question everything. Everything becomes suspect in the culture and the society that we live in today. And unfortunately, we even see this trend happening in the Christian community, among our own people. And here's what I mean. The issue we have today is that doctrine is driven by cultural movements, not by doctrinal truth. Look at the world around us today. Even in Christianity, there are new views on marriage, new views on sexuality, new views on gender, and on it goes. They're all new things that have come into the church not through Scripture, but through the culture. And so here's what we hear. Well, we look at the Bible through today's culture, and we understand it in terms that apply to us today. That's partially true, but it's not 100% true. Because wherever there's truth, there's a lie also. And that's what Satan the deceiver does. So, when people say, our understanding of Scripture has changed, here's a good response to that. And this response is from C.S. Lewis, who I know you all have heard of. And he talks about this idea of chronological snobbery. And here's what that means. Chronological snobbery says, we live in a time, thousands of years after the New Testament was written, when we, because of our scholarly research, are enlightened. In other words, we know more now than they did back then because we're smarter. We have tools that they didn't have back then. And they say that we're able to shed more light on the Bible and what it means. In other words, C.S. Lewis says, because we live later, we're smarter and we know more. But there's a tremendous fallacy there, isn't there? Lewis's point is, the farther we get from the original writings, from the apostles, the less we probably know. We probably don't know more. We probably know less. So this idea of chronological snobbery, I think, is something that we should pay attention to when we talk about the doctrines and the beliefs and the creeds of the Christian faith. And that is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy, this young mentee. Look at what he said in verse 7. These men, they've strayed from the truth. They turn aside to fruitless discussions. Verse 7, wanted to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. See, these guys probably could fall into this category. They didn't understand what they were talking about. Yet they wanted to be teachers. They wanted to gain a following, not for the right reasons, for the wrong reasons. And they were teaching things that were confusing people. And Paul called them strange doctrines. Well, Ephesus was not the only place that was having problems. There were problems also in a church in Galatia. And listen to a warning that Paul gave to those people about not listening to these strange doctrines. As Galatians 1, verse 8, here's what he says. I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Here it is. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Ooh, strong warning, right? Strong warning. Paul loved his people, and he wanted the absolute best for them. And so he said, don't listen to these false teachers. Don't get involved in these strange doctrines because they're not from God. They're from another source. Well, the problem in Ephesus was that people couldn't recognize a lie when they heard it. And unfortunately, all too often, we have the same issue in our day, don't we, men? So many people can't tell the difference from a lie because the lie is so close to the truth that it's hard to distinguish sometimes for some people. And we see men who call themselves Christians. We see men who go to church regularly that don't know what the Bible says. Because of it, they get caught up in false beliefs. I read an article recently that was talking about this very topic, and the title of the talk was this: The Scandal of Biblical Illiteracy. I listened to a tape by Chris White Sr. not too long ago. He said, in this, he was talking to you, some of you guys in this room. He said, do you guys read your Bible? Can you hear Chris White saying this? Do you read your Bible, right? Yeah. Do you read your Bible? So that you know what God's Word says, so that you recognize error when you see it. Well, we need to be men who know God's Word so that we aren't fooled by false teaching. We should understand basic biblical teaching. But unfortunately, too often we don't. So what's the result? The inability to recognize strange doctrines when they're put before us. Well, let's just land this boat here, this ship. We need to be men. We need to be leaders who know the truth. We need to be able to defend our faith when we're talking to people and recognize what is right and what is wrong. Paul was telling Timothy to do that, and through Scripture, they are encouraging us to do the same. Men who can confront false teaching. Men who can expose the lies that they espouse. And what's the goal? Let's just finish right here, verse 5. What is the goal of everything that Paul is talking to Timothy about in this letter? Look at this, verse 5. But the goal, it's pretty clear, isn't it? The goal of our instruction, the instruction is to confront false teachers, is this, love. The goal is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. See, Paul says confront the culture, but he doesn't say be violent, hate them, be angry about it. No, he doesn't do that at all. The culture responds to us that way sometimes, but Paul says you don't do that. Confront them in a loving way with a pure heart, a good conscience, and in faith, believing the truth that leads to salvation. So here's our takeaway. Don't be like Radio Shack. Don't be like the leadership team at Radio Shack. You remember what Ronald Reagan said? He was famous for espousing an old Russian proverb, trust but verify. People think Reagan made that up, but he didn't. He learned that from Gorbachev. Trust but verify. Listen to what people say, but go to God's Word and verify that it is true. And you'll be well off if you do it. Right, men? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the doctrines that were delivered to the apostles and delivered to us over time. Help us to be men of truth, recognizing falsehood when we hear it. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, have a great time at your tables today.